Good afternoon, everyone. According to some new research, apparently walking 5,000 steps 3 times a week for 2 years could add up to 3 years to a person's life expectancy and decrease their healthcare costs by up to 13%. We'll share the findings. In the headlines on the update this Wednesday, the Brooklyn preacher that was known for his flashy lifestyle and who boasted of his friendship with Mayor Adams has been found guilty in federal court of wire fraud, attempted extortion, and lying to the FBI. We'll have the latest details. With congestion pricing in the dawn of the future, officials here in New York are cracking down on vehicles using altered or forged license plates to avoid paying tolls and tickets. Hopes and prayers are being sent out for former Mets and Yankees star Daryl Strawberry. He's recovering from a heart attack and is at SSM Health St. Joseph Hospital. And the road to the White House continues. President Biden has formally clinched a second straight Democratic nomination. Meanwhile, the former president stands on the brink of unofficially securing the Republican presidential nomination for a third time after he won his primaries in Georgia and Mississippi and had additional votes being cast in Washington and Hawaii. This is the update. Wednesday, March the 13th. 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A 3-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Wednesday. Happy hump day to all of you out there. The weather has been cooperating, at least for, you know, for now. Temperature's supposed to be in the upper 60s today. Not as much sunshine as we had lately because, well, the clouds are filtering in somewhat, but it's still supposed to be warm. And it'll be warm for tomorrow, too, before, you know, we cool down and come back to reality. Otherwise, it actually feels like springtime. It's very exciting because, you know, April is coming up, start of baseball season. Mets fans, they have been sending their hopes and prayers for Daryl Strawberry. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But also some news is swirling around Garrett Cole. There we go. To see if he'll, you know, start the season on the injured list. But I guess we'll find out in the coming days before, you know, season starts. Season is about to starts on the 28th. That's about 2 weeks from now. It's going to be very exciting. Very, very exciting indeed. I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Wednesday's proceedings in court in Manhattan, federal court, actually, where the Brooklyn preacher that's known, of course, for his flashy lifestyle and who boasted of his friendship with Mayor Adams has now been found guilty of wire fraud, attempted extortion, and lying to the FBI. Lamar Miller Whitehead was found guilty on 5 counts after a trial in federal court in Manhattan on Monday. Prosecutors, they had argued that the preacher had exaggerated his ties to the mayor and let greed overtake him as he looted a parishioner's retirement savings and tried to extort a businessman to fuel his lavish lifestyle. His attorney has promised an appeal of the verdict. Now, on to some of the other news of this Wednesday. And this is the kind of book that friends recommend to each other, especially if someone is going through a time of loneliness or has had a romantic loss. The Late Bell Hooks All About Love was published nearly a quarter of a century ago. But it's found a new generation of readers who respond to its message of empathy and community. As scholars of Hooks welcome her ongoing popularity, but also worry that readers may miss her political message. M. Shade Malakulu, who directs the Bell Hooks Center at Berea College in Kentucky, says that Hooks, as a feminist of color, was writing about a love for justice. Meanwhile, up north we go over to Carmel, where a formidable opponent of the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, who twice tried to mount coups against the socialist leader, spoke to the AP as a Manhattan federal judge is deciding whether to punish him with a long prison sentence. It's the first time that retired Army General Silver Acala has spoken to the media since he surrendered back in 2020. Alcala last year pleaded guilty to two counts of providing weapons to drug-funded rebels. But now prosecutors, they're urging a Manhattan federal judge to consider the previously dismissed charges and unproven allegations of drug trafficking and to hand down a far stiffer sentence of at least 30 years. Meanwhile, up I-95 we go now over to Hartford in Connecticut, where it's not just there, but libraries across this country, they're struggling to cover the cost of e-books, which have been growing in popularity. Digital copies of books often cost libraries four or more times the price that consumers pay. And unlike paper books, an e-book does not last. The libraries, they are only leasing their copies from digital publishing platforms, and after a year or two, the e-books expire. Librarians in some states, they are pushing for legislation that would help lower their costs. Publishers are fighting these proposals, however, saying that they undermine intellectual property rights. Back here in the city limits, the New York Civil Liberties Union, they've now filed a lawsuit against Columbia University for suspending two students' groups that had protested Israel's actions in the Gaza War. The lawsuit accuses Columbia of violating their own rules by suspending the two groups, Students for Justice in Palestine and Jewish Voice for Peace. The groups took part in protests against the Israeli military offensive that followed the Hamas attack on October 7th of last year. A Columbia spokesperson said that university officials would decline to comment on the pending litigation. The lawsuit was filed on Monday, the same day that a Republican-led congressional committee announced a hearing on anti-Semitism at Columbia. After weeks of testing, as we're about to enter tax season, an electronic system for filing returns directly to the IRS is now available for taxpayers from 12 selected states. DirectFile is a free online tool. Taxpayers in the 12 states who have very simple W-2s and claim a standard deduction may be eligible to use it this tax season. The Direct File pilot is part of the agency's effort to build out a new government service that could replace some taxpayers' use of commercial tax preparation software, such as TurboTax. to the state capitol in Albany we go now, where the budget season in this state has now begun. Democrats who control the state Senate and the Assembly, they've released their budget proposals for the year, setting up potential battles with Governor Hochul's office over education funding and income taxes. The spending plans mark the start of the state's budget negotiations, a process that will play out behind closed doors between the governor, the Senate leader, and the Assembly speaker, ahead of the budget's April 1st due date. Hochul said that she thought the budget could be wrapped up on time this year, appearing keen to avoid the kind of inter-party squabble that it displayed last year when she sparred with lawmakers over a housing plan and to change the bail laws. Whether you like it or not, congestion pricing is not that far away from being a reality in this town. The start of June is what the MTA is saying to start congestion pricing. But before then, officials here in New York, they're cracking down on vehicles using altered or forged license plates to avoid paying tolls and tickets. Governor Hochul, Mayor Adams, and law enforcement officials said yesterday that a multi-agency effort to catch scofflaws resulted in 73 vehicles being impounded, 282 summonses issued, and 8 individuals arrested. They said that the enforcement on Monday was the first in a series of stops that state police and the city police will conduct about once a month in different locations across this town. The effort involves some 150 officers posted at the 3 river crossings that enter the borough of Manhattan. Meanwhile, we've learned that David Mixner, a longtime LGBTQ plus activist who was an advisor to Bill Clinton during his presidential campaign and later called him out over the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy regarding gays in the military. He's died at the age of 77. LGBTQ plus Victory Fund president and CEO Anise Parker says that Mixner died on Monday at his home here in the city. In 1991, Mixner was one of the founding members of the organization, which recruits and supports LGBTQ plus candidates. In a statement, the Victory Fund calls Mixner, quote, a courageous, resilient, and unyielding force for social change at a time when our community faced widespread discrimination and an HIV/AIDS crisis that was ignored by the political class in Washington. He, of course, will be very deeply missed. In other news, a federal judge has now approved the $92 million bond put up by the former president to ensure that the writer E. Jean Carroll will receive a jury award for his verbal attacks against her if it survives appeals. Judge Lewis Kaplan formally approved the bond yesterday, one day after lawyers agreed that there was no argument over it. The bond offered, by the Republican presidential frontrunner, comes after Trump's lawyers announced that they were appealing the verdict to the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Over the weekend, Trump resumed his attacks, on Carroll's credibility. Her lawyers now say that the third defamation lawsuit is definitely possible. And finally, Ghislaine Maxwell. Her lawyer has now asked a federal appeals court to toss out her sex trafficking conviction and 20-year prison sentence, saying that Jeffrey Epstein's 2007 non-prosecution deal with a U.S. attorney in Florida should have prevented her prosecution. The argument, by attorney Diana Fabi Sampson was repeatedly challenged by one judge on the second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday before the 3-judge panel reversed the decision. Lawyers for the British socialite Maxwell are challenging her conviction on multiple grounds, But the only topic that was discussed during oral arguments was whether the deal that Epstein struck in Florida protected Maxwell. Sampson said that it did, but a prosecutor says that it didn't. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Wednesday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and how hopes and prayers are being set out for Daryl Strawberry, former Mets and Yankees star, after he's recovering from a heart attack. We're going to talk together the latest national news. In Washington, the road to the White House continues. President Biden has formally clinched his second straight Democratic nomination, and the former president stands on the brink of unofficially securing his for a third time. And at the end of the broadcast today, according to some new research, we were walking, apparently I should say, walking 5,000 steps three times a week for 2 years could add up to 3 years to a person's life expectancy and also decrease their healthcare costs by up to 13%. Going to talk about this and a lot more too, of course, folks, when the update Brandon Julian on Wednesday. One step closer to spring. Spring starts next week in the nighttime. That's going to be different. We'll talk about that more when the update of Brian and Julian returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. You know, when my partner and I got together all those years ago, she told me that she was going to be the best girlfriend partner that I was ever going to have. Now, nearly 6 years later, I continue to remind myself every day that she was right. It really doesn't get any better than her. This is the update with Brandon Julia, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, "Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you, and we'll figure it out."
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, folks, of all of the podcasters and the news anchors in the city of New York, I just so happen to be one of them. I just think I'm a little bit different than the rest. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for traffic and weather together.
Through the first half of 2024, F trains will run on the E line at all times in both directions between Rockefeller Center and Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue because of track replacement along the 63rd Street line. On weekdays, M trains will not run between Rockefeller Center and Forest Hill 71st Avenue. Trains will run between 57th Street on the F line and Metropolitan Avenue.
A special F shuttle train will run every 20 minutes between Lexington Avenue, 63rd Street, and 21st Street, Queensbridge, stopping at Roosevelt Island. The shuttle train will not run overnight. Free shuttle buses will run between 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza on days and evenings, and between Roosevelt Island, 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza overnight. Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46 and S96 Limited until March 30th. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let's begin out in spring training, but we're not going to go to Florida. Actually, we're going to start in Lake St. Louis, Missouri, where we learned that on Monday night, former Met and Yankee star Daryl Strawberry had a heart attack, and now he's recovering at SSM Health St. Joseph Hospital. Met spokesman Jay Horowitz said that Strawberry was stricken on Monday, one day before the 8-time All-Star's 62nd birthday. Strawberry posted a photo of himself at the hospital on Instagram and wrote, quote, "I am so happy and honored to report that all is well." Strawberry, who lives in O'Fallon in Missouri, is resting comfortably, but it did give Mets and Yankee fans a scare. Down to Florida we go, in Tampa, where Yankee star Aaron Judge, the captain, expects now to be ready for opening day March 28th after an MRI exam of his abdomen. Judge started to feel discomfort with his abdomen during his swings as follow-through about a week ago, and now the 31-year-old has not taken on-field batting practice the last few days. He last played on Sunday, striking out in both of his at-bats, and said that he expects to resume swinging a bat this week. Judge says, quote, "We ran tests. Everything comes back good." From the diamond, let's go out to the hardwood. Knicks and the 76ers going at it at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. OG Anunoby, his return to the lineup, hasn't played the last 18 games because of a right elbow injury that required surgery at the end of January. And boy, was his presence missed. Josh Hart had 20 points, 19 boards, and 10 assists in his fourth triple-double of the year. And Anunoby at 14 in his return. And the Knicks beat the 76ers 106-79. Jalen Brunson added 20 with 9 assists for the Knicks, who finally got one of their injured starters back and looked nothing like the team that was held to an NBA season low 73 points in their loss to the Sixers on Sunday. From the hardwood, let's go out to the ice. Rangers and the Hurricanes going at it down in Raleigh. It's a matchup, this was, the top two teams in the Metropolitan Division. Igor Shesterkin made 28 saves for a second consecutive shutout, and the Rangers topped the Hurricanes by the thrilling score that it would be in baseball, a score of 1-0. Adam Fox scored for the Rangers late in the first, and Shesterkin made it stand up. That goal held up through Carolina using an extra skater for the final 2 minutes. Hurricanes goalie Pyotr Kochetkov stopped 23 shots, but the three-game winning streak for the Canes ended. They're only shut out, by the way, for only the second time this year, and the first since October 24th of last year at Tampa Bay against the Lightning. It's not all good news, though, in Rangerland. Matt Rempe has been suspended 4 games for elbowing Devils defenseman Jonas Siegenthaler in the head. The NHL's Department of Player Safety announced the ban after a hearing with the rookie yesterday. What's notable about this is that Rempe has got his first suspension 10 games into his career. The league, in explaining the suspension, says that Rempe flared his left elbow up and out in a dangerous fashion. Siegenthaler was injured on the play and did not return to the game on Monday night. Rempe has fought 5 times since he was called up from the minors and now has 54 penalty minutes. Talking about the road to the White House, both of the main candidates looks like they've unofficially clinched their parties' nominations. RFK is having conversations, RFK Jr., I should say, he's having conversations with vice presidential candidates. Could one of them be Aaron Rodgers? And employees in Virginia at the Richmond Wildlife Center, they're doing their best to act like mother foxes as they feed and care for an orphaned kit who found her way into their care. Going to talk about this and more because national news, it is next for us around here, of course, when the update of Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long, news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well.
Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update of Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy. But I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. Another hump day in the month of March for us around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us as we enjoy the warm weather for a change before it finally starts feeling, you know, like spring and not like it's May. Although we will be in May relatively soon. You know, folks, let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we're going to begin, of course, in Washington, where we're officially starting the road to the White House, because it's looking more and more likely it'll be a Biden-Trump rematch. After, first of all, the president formally clinched a second straight Democratic nomination. Now, as his party's his presumptive nominee, he faces, as I mentioned, an all-but-certain rematch with Donald Trump. Biden clinched the nomination yesterday after winning enough delegates in Georgia. His nomination will become official at the Democratic National Convention to be held in Chicago in August. Biden, who mounted his first bid for president 37 years ago, did not face any serious Democratic challengers to his run for re-election at the age of 81. And that's despite facing low approval ratings and a lack of voter enthusiasm for his presidency
driven in part, of course, by his age. On the Republican side of things, Donald Trump stood on the brink of unofficially securing the Republican nomination for a third time after winning the primaries in Georgia and Mississippi, and also with additional votes being cast in Washington and Hawaii. He needed about 8 out of every 10 delegates available in those states to do it in the contest yesterday. Otherwise, he'll have to wait up to a week before he can once again claim the title. Trump's near-clean sweep of last week's Super Tuesday contest, as well as his more recent win in American Samoa's caucuses, put him just 126 delegates shy of the 1,215 needed to clinch the nomination heading into the contest yesterday. Trump needs about 78% of the 161 delegates in Tuesday's elections. Down in Port-au-Prince in Haiti, politicians there across that country are scrambling for power after it was announced that Prime Minister Ariel Henry that said that he would resign once a transitional presidential council is created. But elbowing their way into the race are powerful gangs that control 80% of Haiti's capital and demand a say in the future of the troubled country that's under siege. No one mentioned the armed groups as Caribbean leaders as they congratulated themselves late on Monday for setting Haiti on a new political path. Experts they had warned that nothing would really change unless gangs become part of the conversation. Gangs, they have deep ties to Haiti's political and economic elite, but they have now grown, they have grown to be more independent. RFK Jr., he's now having conversations with, he's having conversations with vice presidential candidates as he gets closer to announcing his running mate for his independent presidential bid. Kennedy told the New York Times that NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers, and former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura are at the top of his list. Stefani Spear, a campaign spokesperson, confirmed the Times' report and said that there are other names on Kennedy's shortlist. Kennedy's focus on getting access to the ballot across this country. Many states require him to name a running mate before he can begin the process of qualifying for the ballot. Back to this country we go now, up north to Anchorage in Alaska, where we were telling you recently about the sled Iditarod race. And Dallas Seavey has now made history. He won the world's most famous sled dog race yesterday. That's a record-breaking 6th championship for the Alaska musher. But this year's race started off rough for him. He had to shoot and kill a moose that got tangled up with his dog shortly after the race began. He shot the moose and told officials that he gutted it the best that he could. Iditarod officials wound up issuing Seavey a 2-hour time penalty. He still enjoyed, though, a 3-hour lead over his nearest competitor on the way to the finish line in Nome. And finally, we're going to go down to Richmond in Virginia, where employees of the Richmond Wildlife Center there are doing their best to act like mother foxes as they feed and care for an orphan kit that found her way into their care. In a video that was posted to the center's Facebook page yesterday, Executive Director Melissa Stanley is shown wearing a red fox mask and rubber gloves while feeding the kit from a syringe. Stanley said that the kit was admitted to the Wildlife Center on February 29th after a man walking his dog found her in an alley in Richmond. The Wildlife Center plans to transfer the kit to another rescue organization in the northern part of the state so she can live with 3 other kits her same age and eventually they can all be released together into the wild. Of course, it involves the growing up together, those foxes, and we all want to live longer. Well, according to some new research, apparently walking 5,000 steps 3 times a week for 2 years can add up to 3 years to your life expectancy and decrease your healthcare costs by up to 13%. Going to talk about this because your honorable mention is next when the update Brandon Julian continues.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. If there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never would just want to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, it's a big holiday tradition, you know, it's the fruitcake. I love all the holiday traditions, as Jim Gaffigan once said. You know, like the Christmas tree. My birthday's right next to Christmas. Christmas tree, you know, we go chop a tree, we go put it in our living room. Sometimes I think that's the creation of a drunk man, really. Some woman wakes up, honey, why is there a pine tree in our living room? I like it. We're gonna decorate it for Jesus. And then I'm gonna hang my socks over the fireplace. Fill them with candy. Maybe I can tie some leaves to a ceiling, see if I can get some action. And now I'm gonna peek on this couch. Merry Christmas. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. Another hump day in the month of March for us around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, these days I'm not exactly on Facebook a lot, but I will say the thing that's great about Facebook is because when you post things on your story or on your profile, you can look back on it years later. For example, today is March 13th, and I decide to peek at my Facebook memories, and a lot of it had to do with what happened during COVID time, because this was just the beginning of the COVID times. For also some completionists out there, in 2014, 10 years ago today, by the way, recently, 10 years ago, the East Harlem explosion on 116th and Park happened that day. And it was a big thing because my school was in the neighborhood, East Harlem. And I wrote a whole book about my coalition experience. I wonder if I should dip into that sometime and talk about it. But a lot of it really had to do with during COVID time. Like in 2020 on this date, the mayor, de Blasio, back then, he's kept his ground to close the schools back then, to open the schools back then, keep them open. But the attendance dropped the day to 68%. And I said, is the same thing with CUNY. And I had said that on the show about CUNY many times during those COVID times. It's not a matter of if schools would close. It would just be a matter of when and for how long. But also, the Transit Museum was closed to the public until further notice, and that made me very, very sad. You know. Oh well. At any event, folks, that was a little trip down memory lane, and we'll do that more often as we go through the COVID times. Well, looking back on the COVID times, 4 years ago, since that happened. But we have just enough time left today, of course, folks, for your honorable mention. Forgive me as I just blow my nose momentarily. Oh, man. I don't know where I got the stuffy nose from all of a sudden, but if you've ever had a stuffy nose, you know that it sucks to deal with. In any event, there's this big deal about us wanting to live longer out there, but you know, we want to live longer, but how much longer? Jim Gaffigan posed that question once. Like, there are some people who are in their 80s and 90s like, I can't believe I'm still here. If I knew this was going to happen, I would have eaten so much more ice cream. Why did I ever consume kale? I've never eaten kale, but can we stop with the kale propaganda? That stuff tastes like bug spray. I looked at the side of the can of bug spray. It said made with real kale. But in any event, apparently, according to some new research, walking 5,000 steps 3 times a week for 2 years could add 3 years to a person's life expectancy and decrease their healthcare costs by up to 13%. Published by Vitality in the London School of Economics, the Vitality Habit Index looked at the behaviors and habits of 1 million Vitality Program members in the UK and South Africa between the years 2013 and 2023. Researchers wanted to ascertain the best ways to form and maintain lifelong healthy habits, as well as analyze the science behind how healthy habits can lead to longer and healthier lives. Adrian Gore, the founder of Discovery Vitality, said in the statement, quote, healthy habits can profoundly extend the quality and length of life. Our data shows the impact is not only significant, but applies across ages, risk factors, and health statuses. Maintaining a small amount of physical activity has lasting health impacts. Given the role of behavior and health risk globally, a better understanding of the mechanisms of habits can be a powerful way to improve individual health and to evolve our healthcare systems to prioritize preventive health. Not only does the Vitality Health Index show the lifestyle changes that people can make for a healthier life, but it also shows the impact that these changes at the individual level can have on global healthcare systems. You see, it's estimated by the World Health Organization that about 27.5% of adults and 81% of adolescents are physically inactive. And if inactivity levels remain this low, new cases of preventable disease, such as type 2 diabetes, will end up costing health systems about $27 billion a year, which I can understand because many people are already doing this with vaping and TikTok. According to Vitality, not getting enough physical activity is associated with 5 million premature deaths every year globally. And 1 in 5 worldwide deaths are associated with poor diets, with 1.5 billion people expected to be classified as obese by 2035. Small changes for a healthier lifestyle had major positive impacts on all age groups, but it was extremely significant for people age 65 and older, with a 52% reduction in mortality risk after maintaining a habit of 7,500 steps 3 times or more a week. Those aged between 45 and 65 saw a 38% reduction in mortality risk, while the total population saw a 27% reduction. The research revealed also that 7,500 steps per day on average led to the bulk of reduction in common cause mortality. And moving beyond this sweet spot, in quotes, showed additional incremental health improvements. Across all age groups, those who sustained a habit of physical activity 3 times or more a week for 2.5 years can add between 2.5 years for men and 3 years for women in life expectancy. Joan Costa Font, professor at the London School of Economics, said, quote, "The findings of this study are a clear call to action for policymakers to promote public prevention and public health and build on the power of healthy habits to improve individual and collective health outcomes. Successful habit-based interventions can lengthen life expectancy, entail considerable savings for public health services, improve productivity, and help address the significant long-term challenges posed by mental health, social isolation, and non-communicable diseases, such as cancer and type 2 diabetes." I need a water break. This is a lot of reading I'm doing. But no, walking is important. My wife wants to do that sometimes when I'm, you know, here trying to catch him on stuff or watch Law and Order. It's like I just want to go on a walk. And she sees me watching this stuff. And I'm like, but Law and Order is on. It's the order side. Jack McCoy is prosecuting a criminal. And she's just like, I just want to go for a walk. And I'm like, why do you want to go for a walk? We have cars. I just thought we could walk and talk, you know. I'm like, walk and talk. All right. And I tell you, people, I don't mind walking somewhere if we're actually gonna walk. But you don't walk, you saunter, you meander. Walking says that you have a destination to get to somewhere. I swear. Like, I'm 15 yards behind her, and she's like, where are we walking to, your execution, sir? Let's go. Like, this isn't walking, this is loitering. And then somewhere she wants to hold hands too. Oh my God. We've been together for nearly 6 years. You know, when you're 21, you hold your partner's hand because that's a sign, hey, this is my girlfriend, everybody just back off. You want to know what happens when people my age hold hands with their partner? They're like, oh, dude, he's missing Law and Order right now. I'll tell you that right now. And I don't mind holding hands with her. It's great. But after a while, it's just be like, all right, it's sweaty. Just stop. It's sweaty. And she's like, why are we doing this? And she's like, so people will know we're together. And I say, they already know we're together by the look on my face. The stoop in my shoulders. And the fact that you're asking me to pick it up because I'm still 15 yards behind you. I'm sorry I had to go on a bit of a tirade just now. In any event, when analyzing the impact of physical activity habits on the risk of developing type 2 diabetes, those who sustained 10,000 steps 3 times a week for 3 years reduced their risk by up to 41%. While those who did this 4 times a week or more reduced risk by 57%. The research recognized 3 rules for creating robust habits in the process. 1, start slow and don't be too ambitious. Starting with low to moderate intensity exercise at low frequency will likely keep the habit going 1.5 times longer than those who start with high intensity workouts. 2, use habit laddering and set a target from your baseline. Set your target based on your already existing health habits. For example, if you are inactive, start with 2,500 steps 3 to 5 times a week to mark the first step on the ladder. And 3, focus on consistency, then intensity. Start with continuing the activity just to form the habit and increase the intensity once it's been consistent for between 6 to 8 weeks. Maya Surmava, CEO of Vitality US, said, quote, "This analysis offers meaningful insights for the U.S. and other countries. The implications from a market and policy perspective are significant and provide insight into the impact that small behavior changes can have on people's health and well-being. Given the healthcare cost crisis in the U.S., following these 3 steps for creating robust habits could lead to a notable change in both health and healthcare costs." So, you know, take these steps in the first step to, you know, living longer. I'm going to let you guys ponder on this, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, "That's the way it is." Wednesday, March the 13th, 2024. That's the update on this Wednesday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. In the next episode of my best, my list of personal episodes, I should say, we go back to Halloween in 2017. It's not your traditional broadcast, and we'll explain why on Saturday, wherever, of course, you listen to this podcast. So until you break out the sunglasses and, you know, break out the shorts, too, for the taste of early summer tomorrow, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully with your news, folks, it will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. And most importantly, please be well. And honey, I might be a little late getting home tonight because I'm taking the scenic route from the studio. See, if I pull up this map in front of me, I could take the Sim 8 bus that goes through New Jersey and through the Holland Tunnel. Or, you know, maybe not. 71 degrees is a high tomorrow. Yeah, a little taste of summer as we roll right along into springtime next week. Let's talk about this and a lot more, too, of course, folks, when I see all of you right back here tomorrow. See you then.